White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 719.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man!
From the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you tonight?
Very well, man. How are you?
Man, I'm happy. I've got a nice slice of cheesecake with strawberry swirl on it. I'm your host, by the way, Van Allen Plexico, and joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer, who Van didn't bring a slice of cheesecake.
Wouldn't fit through the little pipe, through this little tube, you know, the internet tube. It wouldn't fit, so I'm just going to enjoy my little piece of cheesecake in between our segments of conversation tonight, because otherwise it'll be too late. But I've got to have it. So anyway, what is new with you?
We reached the off-season time, Van. I mean, it's, you know, the transfer portal is winding down and spring practice is over and, you know, baseball and softball seasons are winding down. So get right ahead into the dregs of the summer. But there's some we always talk about, there's some glimpses on the horizon.
There are
a few things out there coming, and I have my eye on them.
Oh yeah, there's things. I mean, there's stuff going on right now. We've got a full show tonight.
We do.
But there's lots of little things going on, lots of medium-sized things going on. So yeah, we've got baseball to talk about briefly for once. Mm-hmm. We've got basketball coming and going a little bit. We've got football coming and going and stuff. We have the great Aubie heist going on that we got to talk about briefly. And we have a new feature we're going to debut this week that I think might be one that might stand the test of time and last for a long time to come. And I'm hoping that's because we're excited about doing it and not because it's like, oh, it's a chore, but because we're excited about doing it. This week, we are rolling out, and I'm going to improve it. I'm going to come up with some sound effects and stuff. I don't have it ready now. I'll use some canned sound effects. But we are rolling out the Auburn Fun Meter. The Auburn Fun Meter.
Yeah!
Which is a... Oh, dear, John just went in the dark. There he goes. The technical hijinks on our show have always been quite a pleasure. What we're going to do is at the beginning of every show, we're going to report to you, the listener, where the current Auburn meter is on a scale of 0 to 10 in terms of how much fun it is to be an Auburn person right now. So, like, if we just won the Iron Bowl and crushed Alabama, it would be like at an 11 or an 1100, you know. And, like, the week before we got rid of... I almost said it. I was so excited. The week or two before we got rid of
potatoes,
it would have been at like a 1 probably, right? Something like that. Back in Chiswick's last year, it would have been at like a 1, you know. But after the kick 6, it would have been off the scale, right? So I thought it would be a neat idea just every episode to start out saying, where is your Auburn fun meter this week? And we'll hear what John's is, we'll hear what mine is. And I'm curious to hear what some of our listeners think about it and where they would rank it, too. So y'all can just kind of throw that into your usual correspondence and listener questions and whatnot and just kind of give us a sense of, you know, if you have a strong feeling about it. I mean, if you're like if we're kind of like a 5 or something, that's fine. But if you have a strong feeling about where the fun meter, and I got to come up with some sound effects or music or something, and I will. I haven't done it. I haven't had a chance right now. We are at the busiest time of the year for me work-wise right now. Like every job has that one period where it's like ridiculous. We've got graduation coming up. We've got final exams are going on right now. We got final grades to do. And get this, we're about at the end of this semester, which is like in the next 2 days, we are about to switch over completely from Blackboard to a totally different interactive online system we use with our students and our grades and our assignments and everything in our online classes. A completely new one that nobody has. The students don't know how to use it. We don't know how to use it. And in like 3 days, it's going to be the official thing. So we're all just freaking out. So, yeah, it's that kind of time right now. But let's look at the fun meter real quick. I'll have like a theme song for it. But in fact, I'll just roll this out for now.
This is the
Auburn Fun Meter. All right. So, on a scale of 0 to 10, all things Auburn considered, recruiting, transfer portal, baseball, basketball, softball, everything, where is your Auburn Fun Meter this week, John?
It's about like a 5.5.
Yeah?
I mean, it can't be, you know, I'm excited about baseball and softball, but I don't watch a ton of baseball and softball.
Right.
So I'm,
right.
There's only so excited I can get about that. And, you know, football is, I was pretty happy when we got the quarterback transfer. And,
yeah.
and basketball, you know, is kind of a mixed bag right now, but I'm overall kind of pleased. So that's where I am.
I got you. I think we're going to look at this differently, and maybe over time we'll blend together more, but that's fine if we look at it differently. I'm looking at it as a big chunk of fun for me is how much I'm anticipating something. So like
sure.
when 2021 ended and we were waiting on the 2022 season, I was not, you know, more than any normal Auburn season. I was just like, oh, here we go again, you know. So my fun meter would have been pretty low in anticipation. But I'm very excited about this fall. I feel like I feel like I did before 2009, 2010 again. And because the beginning of both of those years, I felt like, you know, here we go. We're cooking again. We're the roller coaster's going up, not down again. And so I'm going to say I'm at about a 7 this week. I mean, when you throw in that the baseball team has gone from being from the outhouse to the penthouse, you know, and the basketball team's looking good, bringing in players and stuff, and maybe in the running for this guy from Tennessee and everything that we're going to talk about. I mean, when you throw all that in, maybe we don't have all the results to make me have fun right now, but I feel like just emotionally right now, in terms of anticipation and what I'm looking forward to, I'm having a lot of fun being an Auburn fan right now.
That's fair. I'm excited about the football season, but I have to, you know, I have to ration it for myself.
Yeah, I understand.
I can't get too excited.
I understand. All right, so there you go. So John's at 5.5. I'm at a 7. And we want to hear what you guys think. And is John crazy? Am I crazy? Are we somewhere in between? What do you think it is? So, all right. So that we'll kind of, I'll try to remember. We'll just keep that on our agenda, hopefully, going forward. I think it'll be a neat little thing. We won't spend this much time on it every week, obviously, but I just want to explain it. Okay, next up, though, that I wanted to mention is, and I meant to mention this last week, and I forgot, the great Aubie graduation hat heist. Have you heard about this?
Vaguely, but fill me in.
Okay, so Aubie apparently went out on the floor, you know, with the graduating class during graduation a week and a half ago or whatever, and he has a big Aubie noggin-sized graduation hat that he wears with his cap and gown. It's his cap, right? And when all the graduates threw their hats up in the air, Aubie in solidarity, right, threw his hat up in the air, and it disappeared. When he went to get it afterwards, it was nowhere to be found. And they tweeted out or posted on his Instagram account or something. I don't have Instagram, so
I don't have facts to back this up.
But my wife is on Instagram, and she told me, she keeps up with Aubie. She told me that his hat was missing, and he was upset about it because it's custom made for his extra cranial, you know, situation.
Maybe he threw it really hard and it went through the roof.
Well, it's Aubie. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past him, obviously, but I haven't heard anything else about it. So I'm wondering if somebody made off with it and it's like going to pop up on eBay or something at one point. So if you or someone you love has any information about Aubie's missing hat, please contact Auburn University at Auburn University, Alabama, 36849. Because an Aubie hat is a terrible thing to waste. All right, so that was
Thank you for that. We
public
get
the service.
X-Files music in
public
there or something.
Yeah, it's public service. I used to have the Twilight Zone on here, but I got rid of it. All right, what do we know about softball? I just know that they They lost to somebody a couple of days ago in the SEC tournament. Was that it? In the semis? Yes. I think the semifinals.
Yes. And so now they've awarded the regionals for the college World Series softball playoffs, and the top six teams in the SEC, five of them got to host regionals, and one of them got to sent to play at another team's regional, and that one team, of course, was Auburn.
Wow.
And the teams and the players and the fans were very angry about this. They feel like we got hosed, we got a bad draw. Again, if you look at like winning percentage of conference as an example, that's not a power ranking, but just in that way, that we won more conference games than Alabama and the team behind them, and they got to host regionals, and we're going to Clemson, South Carolina to play in a regional with them.
How does that happen? I mean, conspiracy theories aside, I mean, what the heck?
I don't, again, not a softball expert, but I'm going to say this. I think it's possible some of this has to do with the non-conference schedule and power rankings and that kind of stuff in the same way that it would for an NCAA tournament team. Right. But it's also like, I think they didn't want six SEC teams hosting regionals, and so somebody had to lose, and they decided it would be us.
Why not the team
below us? So we
kind of
got hosed.
That's my question.
I agree. I'm just telling you, I think that's what happened. So anyhow, this is not just the worst part of it, okay?
Okay.
If Auburn wins this regional, which this team can do. This team can win this regional, beat Clemson, beat the other teams that we're in the regional with. Because of the way the bracket fell out with this region, in addition to playing at Clemson, if we win, we have to go play in the Super Regional at Oklahoma.
Oh, man. Yeah. My gosh.
Van, Oklahoma this season is like 49-1, and they're in a 43-game winning streak. And if we win this regional where we got kind of hosed, where we have to go to Clemson, we have to go play at Oklahoma against that team.
Good gosh.
Yes.
I mean,
so the players were not happy. The fans were not happy. We kind of got hosed by the NCAA softball seating people here. So
that's unbelievable. Wow. Well, yeah, I don't know enough about it either to really be able to speak authoritatively on the being done wrongness of it, but it sounds terrible. Let me just guess. If Alabama wins their regional, they get to host a little league team in Tuscaloosa, something like that.
Probably. Yeah, in that direction, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, while we're talking about people hitting balls with bats, the baseball team, my gosh. I mean, you know, it seems like only a week or two ago that we were hearing how the baseball team was just terrible. They were giving up so many runs, and they were losing. But I have some information here. At one point in the season, our pitchers had a combined ERA of 6.45, an SEC ERA of 8.83, worst in the SEC. They walked 157 batters and were allowing an opponent batting average of 326 in the SEC. We were at 333 winning percentage in the conference and projected to barely make the SEC tournament and no chance to make the postseason field of 64. Then Tommy Vail and Christian Herberholz entered the weekend rotation and the hitters got healthy. In the last 4 weeks of SEC play, Auburn's ERA earned run average dropped from 8.83 to 5.02. Vail put up a 1.31 ERA over the last four weekends and lowered it further after eight innings against the team a couple of nights ago.
Ole Miss.
Herberholz entered the weekend rotation tied for third in the SEC with a 2.00 ERA the last 4 weeks. And so against LSU had not lost a series all season. They were number one in the country. When Auburn beat them, it was the first time when they say Tigers, it confuses me. When Auburn beat LSU and won the series over them in Baton Rouge a couple of weeks ago, it was the first time LSU, dang it, I keep seeing Tigers. It was the first time Auburn had ever beaten the top-ranked team in program history. We held LSU to a season-low 11 runs in the series with a collective 3.12 ERA on the weekend. And I'm seeing if there's anything else here. Auburn hit 10 home runs against South Carolina, who was number two, I believe, at the time, and outscored them 24-15. South Carolina had the number two offense in the country with 92 home runs, and against Auburn that entire weekend they hit two. So they've really just turned it on at the right time. They are now clearly not only in the SEC tournament, but they get like a bye or whatever, right? They get the, they're like the third seed or something now.
Yes.
And so we've already punched our ticket to the SEC tournament. Yeah, and then we're in eighth place, and a possibility of, and maybe I guess moving up after we beat Ole Miss, and then we'll see how it shakes out for the college, the World Series. So
yeah.
Incredible.
Playing much better, really turned it around in the second half.
Yeah, they've always hit okay, but they had a lot of injuries. And the pitching, I think that their ace, their main pitcher at the beginning of the year, got hurt almost immediately.
Yeah, Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah, so they've been able to kind of come back now with better pitching, and that goes a long way. And so there was talk, maybe even you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that you got to fire your pitching coach, right? Or was it the pitching coach we were talking about that probably was going to have to get fired just because they were doing such a bad job? And now, yeah, maybe now, maybe he saved his job. I don't know. So there you go.
I was going to say, it's the new pitching coach that took Tim Hudson's place. So.
Yeah. All right. So what about football?
Still out there chasing a few players in the transfer portal. The rumors continue. That Auburn's talking to people, and it's not just rumors. Hugh Freeze is actively saying it at different public appearances. And I think the priorities are a wide receiver, you know, another pass rusher, potentially a linebacker. And then, you know, if we, again, at other positions, if we took somebody, it would be, you know, another depth piece, something else to help. So I was going to ask you, what do you think we need the most right now? What would make you feel better as an Auburn fan?
Well, I'll tell you, it certainly sounds like wide receivers have been the priority. And what's funny about that is, think about this. So Hugh Freeze comes in barely 6 months ago, right? And we have the quarterbacks that we have and the receivers that we have. If he brings in a couple more receivers to go along with Peyton Thorne, we'll have a completely, well, except for a couple of receivers, we'll have a completely different passing game than we had last year. And when I say passing game last year, I have to stop from laughing a little bit.
That's a relative statement.
Yes. They would throw the ball through the air to a person who would attempt to catch it, but that's not quite
or to an area on the field.
Yes.
There's a person there or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would put Fairweather in that place, the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
I guess going to play a lot, get a lot of balls thrown through him.
No doubt.
I agree, but I think it also says something about a lot of the receivers we have, right? I think, what I said last week, I think is true. Like, if we don't have the best group in the conference at a position, then I'm always like, great, let's add some other people. So,
well, how long has it been since Auburn had a really prolific passing game? I mean, I know there were a few bright spots, like in 2014 when Nick Marshall was able to get it to our really tall, big receivers. So. And there was five minutes with in 2017, 2018
Stidham.
with Stidham and Seth Williams, yeah. But I mean, a consistent across the board passing game. I mean, don't you really kind of have to go back to like 2005?
Yeah, 2004, 2005. Yeah.
Cam did some good stuff his 1 year, but it wasn't what that team was based on though.
No, but 2010, 2014. Yeah. I think the passing game 2014, people have forgotten how good it was.
Oh, yeah. Well, think about what we did to Alabama that year in Legion. I mean, I'm going to name every stadium in Bryant-Denny. But, I mean, when was the last time we had like a methodical, season-long, carefully thought out and put together passing game? I think it was 2005.
That's fair. For 2010 and 17 in particular, but the running game was there and the passing game was kind of built off it, right?
Right.
So,
I'm thinking five just because that was the last year that we had all those good receivers that came in 2001, 2002. Courtney Taylor and Obamanu and, you know, that whole crowd. That was their that was their swan song. So, but you know that Freeze is going to have that. That's his thing.
We're going to get there.
Yeah, we're going to have a good passing game, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. And that's what he's trying to put down the foundations of right now. So a decent offensive line, a quarterback that knows how to do that, and receivers and a tight end and running backs that can catch the ball and do something with it. And it feels like right now we're what percentage are we to that right now? I mean, at least in terms of having something workmanlike, we're like 80% of the way now, at least, right? At least to having a workmanlike passing game.
Yes.
In terms of personnel, I don't know what they're going to do with it, but in terms of personnel, assuming it'll work once they get it all together, yeah. So,
but I think the, as we said, the reason we came to this topic is because I think the search for wide, you know, difference making wide receivers, guys who can get open against good SEC defensive backs and catch the ball over the top and stuff, that search continues.
Yeah, there's a couple of players that are out there that we've been working on, and they haven't committed yet, right? Like, is the Colorado guy part of the equation still?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. And
Lamonius Craig.
And I feel like
Texas State guy.
Yeah, that's the other one. I just couldn't think of the team. So, so there are players out there still. We just got to get them to come and get with the program, literally. How do you feel in terms of confidence level that we can get more good receivers this year?
I think we're gonna sign at least one more, definitely. I think they're not looking at, you know, signing somebody to as a long term developmental project either. Remember, we just got Burton, the Ohio State guy.
That's right.
You know, and we got some players they signed that are gonna come in as freshmen, but you know, I think they're gonna look around and see what they can get. So,
I'm going to add something to your little list here.
Okay.
At the bottom there. Okay. You had another question there too about the players. Are you referring to? You can tell what the question is, but I want to know: are you referring to what we have now, what we used to have, what we're going to have? Where? You can go ahead and ask that question.
So my question is: I was asking about the players we have now. Okay. Of the players we have now at some of these positions, wide receiver, wherever, how many of them would play at Georgia, Alabama, or LSU?
All right. Well, let me first say this. I don't know what's been going on at LSU. I am to understand from things I've read and things I've heard, okay, that LSU has really, like, turned a corner, right? They're on their way up. I saw us come within a play of beating them last fall with the crappy team we had, unfortunately, the way they were playing, the way they were coached last fall. What is LSU? So help me out. Give me a little foundation here. What has LSU done in the last 6 months that they are suddenly being talked about as like a top 10 team?
Well, after that crappy game against us, they beat Alabama.
Yeah.
And then they went to the SEC title game. Remember, they won the West. Alabama did not.
It's the funny thing is that I keep thinking about Tennessee and I forget LSU beat Alabama. Dang. I mean, you know, John, I was going to say the one thing about Georgia being really good right now, I hate it, but the silver and black and red lining, the silver panted lining to Georgia, there you go, right? The silver britched lining to Georgia being really good right now is that Alabama hadn't won a dang thing in 2 years, going on 3 years. Let me say that again just because it takes my fun meter up to an 8. Alabama hadn't won a dang thing in going on 3 years. And that's a good thing. I like that.
Maybe we should have an Auburn fun meter and like a Schadenfreude meter.
Hate Alabama. Hate-o-meter.
How's the hate keeping you warm right now? So.
Yes. But, I mean, look, I mean, if LSU wants to start beating Alabama on the regular, I'm there for it, okay? Because we can handle LSU.
So LSU went to the SEC title game. Golly, they returned a bunch of players.
I forgot all about that.
Honestly, you know, the kind of transfer talent we got in, they got in that too, and their quarterback's back, and they kept both of their stud coordinators. So they're going to be a top five team heading into next season.
So of the top five teams in the country, there's Alabama and Georgia and LSU all in that little huddle. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And you know Ole Miss will be like 10 because the freaking voters just love Lane Kiffin, and he can lose game after game after game, and they're still going to rate him highly. It's so weird. He's got this Lane Kiffin fetish in the media. You know, he lost like what, 5 games in a row to close out the season. As soon as he started flirting with taking the Auburn job, he didn't win another game the rest of the year, and they still are going to put him in like number 9 or something. They will, guarantee it. Like all those quarterbacks can play at the same time. But well, again,
we'll see.
I'm fine with LSU doing well if they beat Alabama, because we always do well against LSU. We don't have any phobia with LSU. We don't have any funky streak type thing going on with LSU. We hammer them as often as they hammer us, pretty much. You know, it's that weird series that either it's the Auburn LSU series is weird in a lot of ways, right? It's like the weird series, but one of the ways it's weird is that if you took 4 years of it, right? If you took 4 years of Auburn LSU, there'll be an Auburn barely winning, an LSU barely winning, an Auburn blowout, and an LSU blowout. That's like every 4 years of that series.
That's fair.
It's so weird. Whereas, like, you know, when we used to play Spurrier at Florida, it would be Florida blows us out, Florida blows us out, Florida blows us out, Florida blows us out, we win narrowly. We win narrowly, Florida blows us out, Florida blows out. You know, there's always that, you know. But it's so different with LSU. So I don't mind LSU being good, because I want them to use their powers for good and not evil and go beat down Alabama. That's fine. Get it done. And tack up another loss on the board for Ole Miss and Mississippi State to help us. And Arkansas, you know, Texas A&M. But Alabama hadn't won a dang thing. They didn't even win the West last year.
No.
How are they coping? Are they on suicide watch over in Tuscaloosa? How are they standing it?
I think they think they'll be right back there.
Are they trying to force Saban out the door and bring Kirby back?
You forgot the other part of this. Didn't win the West.
Yeah.
And didn't win anything else, and then lost their best 2 players, right? And 5 out of their best 6 players, maybe. So.
And dang near almost lost the 21 Iron Bowl to a crappy team, quarterbacked by T.J. Finley and coached by you know who.
Potato.
They nearly lost that. Ooh, fun meters at 8.1 and rising. Well,
that's the goal of the show, to ride to advance fun meter up.
Get my fun meter up. I'm telling you, Alabama needs to be down, 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 because...
Rod Wilson!
That's right. That's right. I want Alabama players walking across in front of Denny Chimes on Monday morning going to class, and I want their classmates that are walking along that sidewalk looking at those players and pointing and saying...
There they are!
Yep, that's what I want.
I want Alabama fans to be so traumatic after a big loss that they're laying it out there and the other team's celebrating right in front of them.
I know what you want to hear. You want to hear the Alabama fans, hopefully at the Iron Bowl, as the Auburn players and fans are jumping up and down and celebrating, and Eli Gold is saying... Oh, Eli.
This is the worst.
Well, how you feel, Eli?
No.
That's what I thought. That's what we want. Oh, fun meters at 8.3. I'll keep you apprised.
Okay.
I don't know how many of our players at these different positions would play at Georgia, Bama, or LSU, but I fear not as many as we would like, and that therein lies the conundrum. Yes.
Yes.
So that's why all Hugh Freeze has done for the last 6 months is recruit, basically. And who could
right,
fault
and that's
him?
But it's also why if we could get another transfer to any of those positions, great, take it.
If you buy a new house and you come over to move in, and like half the house is on fire, you don't worry about moving in the kitchen furniture. You don't worry about putting out lawn ornaments, right? You don't worry about dusting off the kitchen table. You put the fire out. You devote 100% of your time and attention to putting the fire out, and that's pretty much what he's had to do.
And Okay, while we're here, I want to talk about this.
Do it.
Because your fire analogy is good. And then you finally get the fire out. Then you have to remove the fire damage and kind of rebuild to make it look normal. You're not, the minute the fire's out, you're not caught up to your neighbors whose houses are fine.
Amen.
You got still work to do to get back up the hill.
And
I think the long-term damage that the previous coaching staff did to our recruiting comes to light every day. A lot of the intrepid reporters that cover Auburn bring this stuff out. And the holes that the previous staff and their coach
potatoes
did on high school recruiting, it cannot be underestimated. It's not a one-year fix, because the players that are signing next year or even 2 years from now have had long-term relationships and long-term attention and focus and offers from other schools. Meanwhile, our previous coaching staff was busy, you know, playing Pokemon Go, whatever. So they didn't actively recruit these players. And the poster child for this is this guy, Ryan Williams, whose dad played at Auburn and who was a 2025 wide receiver from the state of Alabama, who the previous coaching staff didn't even freaking offer, and who came to, you know, A-Day and stuff, and they ignored him. And he's like the number one player in the state, one of the top 20 players in the country, and he's now committed to Alabama.
That's, I mean, that alone should get your fired out. That alone is just malpractice of the worst. I can't conceive of it. Can't conceive of it. I mean, Gus was able to get Bo Nix when he could have gone almost anywhere. You got to at least make an effort. It's funny, though, you say they're playing Pokemon, because I always say they were playing Candy Crush. We'll figure it out, right? By the time we write the book on the fall and rise.
Candy Crush is better, because Crush is better, because Pokemon Go requires you to get up out of your chair and go do something.
That's it, yeah. I'm going to say, by the time we write our next book on that, we'll have solved the great mystery of what exactly the potato was doing in his office. I'm not going to dignify him with another sound effect, what he was doing in his office, but it sure as heck wasn't recruiting. And let me say, I had a little note here too. Let's bear in mind that we can say, you know, hey, we're now in like the top five in getting transfer players, and that's awesome. But that's not a measure of how much better the roster has gotten. It's a measure of incoming talent. So in other words, you know, Auburn is rated like number four or five in transfer players, but that's just looking at, you know, that's not looking at Auburn. That's looking at the players coming in and saying, oh, you've got like the fourth or fifth best group coming in. But think about this. If Georgia got the same exact transfer class coming in, let's say clone them, right? Just clone them all, and they get the same transfer class we do, then Georgia and Auburn will be tied in terms of the quality of the transfer class. But who benefited more? You know what I mean? Georgia was already Georgia. If Georgia brings in the players we're bringing in now, that doesn't move the needle for them at all. When we bring in the players we're bringing now, we go from the penthouse, from the outhouse to the penthouse. You know, they're already in the penthouse. So, and I don't think it's going to take us to the penthouse, but like to the eighth or ninth floor, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how tall the building is, but you know what I mean. So the point of what I'm saying is, if evaluating a transfer class and giving it a ranking only ranks it in a vacuum. It doesn't rank how much it helps the institution they're going to. If Auburn's transfer class that we have now went to Louisiana Monroe, it would still be the fourth or fifth best class. But in terms of what it did for Louisiana Monroe, they'd be number one with a bullet. You know what I mean? Because they would just be so much better than anything they've got now, presumably. So that's kind of my point is, when you see the ranking of transfer classes and everything, just bear in mind that there's that class in a vacuum, and then there's what it's meant for the institution that's getting it. And that's two completely different things. So
I think that's very well said.
All right. So what else going on in terms of recruiting we need to talk about?
Before we jump into basketball, I want to take a minute and remind people that there's a bunch of players that we signed in this recent football recruiting class in, you know, in December, February, that have not appeared on campus yet. A bunch of the guys, you know, signed early through spring practice, but a bunch of the best players haven't even been on campus yet. So You know, so I'm just going to throw a couple of names out here, and this isn't everybody, but some of them. Jeremiah Cobb.
The first one. Whoa. The first one, man. Say it again, because that first one is something.
Jeremiah Cobb, running back.
Yeah, he's going to be great. I'm so looking forward to him touching the ball. And again, there's like four running backs ahead of him, but he's going to be something.
Right, we're going to be fine running the ball, and he's going to play as a true freshman.
He is.
And contribute. So, Darren Reed's a defensive lineman we're getting. It's coming on campus this summer. Terrence Love is a linebacker. Sylvester Smith's a safety. Remember, he's flipped from Tennessee at the last minute. Colton Hood, cornerback. Nephew of former Auburn player. Dakavius Story's a big wide receiver that's a true freshman coming in. And then there's a JUCO defensive lineman, another position we need some more players. Quintrell Travis is coming in. And then J.C. Hart is an in-state guy that was a big defensive back in high school. But the rumor is he is going to switch over and play wide receiver at the beginning of his career for Auburn.
Ooh.
He is a big, tall, explosive guy. So,
And I made a note here that I tweeted about this the other day, that there's that quarterback that totally fell through the cracks, right? Because we kept talking about Finley, and he's gone. We talk about Robbie. We talk about Gurner.
Yeah.
And there's Walker White. And now there's
Walker White is a year from now.
Year from now. And there's Peyton Thorne and his soap opera show. Who's the other guy? There's that other guy.
It's the guy that signed. He went to Lipscomb.
Yes.
The high school. Actually, he was coached by Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer,
the UAB coach.
But there was an article about him the day. Now, somebody on Twitter replied and said, you know, to be fair, you know, of course Dilfer is going to pump him up. And I get that. But Dilfer sounded like he really thought this kid has got NFL potential. So, and he had like a very generic name, like Chris White or Chris Walker or something kind of,
It's like Hank Brown or Hank.
Oh, yeah. Brown. That's it. That's why I can't remember. I think it is Hank Brown, maybe. But
I'm looking. So
see, the fact that you hadn't found it yet shows exactly what I'm talking about, right? Nobody's talking about him. And, you know, hey, he might transfer in a month. I don't know. But all I have to go by is I was struck by two things. I was struck by the fact that Dilfer had such like glowing things to say about him. And then number two, I was struck by how I'd forgotten about him, that he's never talked about. He's never mentioned. He's just like completely off the radar. But I think you're right. I think it's Hank Brown. So I just want to throw out a little love for this dude because he's been getting totally ignored in the whole, you know, everybody's like, is it going to be Robbie? Is it going to be Thorne? And then after him, is it going to be Gurner? What about Walker White? And I'm like, well, there's another guy. They're not the only ones.
Hank Brown.
Yeah. That's it.
Lipscomb Academy, Nashville, Tennessee.
Three-star, right?
Yep. 6'4", 200.
Yeah, but my understanding is he was getting much better there toward the end, and he might have gotten his fourth star, you know, if he had.
Well, and I think, you know, that's the high school that Freeze taught at, I think, originally. When you watch the movie, Blind Side, it's that high school.
There you go. Well, they had a secret weapon, though. They had that Tui lady telling Freeze the plays to run. I love that Freeze is in that movie, although, all right, here's the thing. A whole bunch of SEC coaches are in it, and one current U.S. senator. But I think that Freeze is actually an actor, right? In other words, the SEC coaches are like actual SEC coaches doing cameos.
Yes.
But
Phil Fulmer is in that movie.
I know it. Saban's in it. And Tuberville's in it.
Saban at LSU.
You know what? I think he was at Alabama when they made the movie, but I think they had him in LSU because that's where he was when he was recruiting. I was like, oh, yeah, they rolled it back. I think they did. But they show Hugh Freeze, and he's on the sideline coaching the high school team, and it's like an actor. It's not actually Hugh Freeze, which is just so perfect. Gus isn't in it. It's too bad.
I could have been in that movie. I had an acting career, but it would have been big.
So, I just think that's pretty interesting. All right, let's see. We got some basketball news going on, if we have exhausted the football.
We have exhausted the football. The basketball side, two things. One is, Julian Phillips entered the transfer portal, the former Tennessee signee who seriously considered Auburn when he went there. this is a guy that's been rumored for a while, but now there's a question of whether he can sign and transfer to Auburn.
Oh, no. What now?
Well, there's an SEC rule that you had to transfer before May 1st to play fall sports. And so, and again, this applies also to our small forward that is transferred away, to Allen.
Flanagan.
If he wants to go to Ole Miss, he will need a waiver from the SEC.
So,
and part of this is the SEC didn't want football players transferring inside the conference at this time of year.
Right.
So SEC players could transfer out, and they are.
Well, the most Auburn thing ever, you know what I'm going to say.
Keep going.
The most Auburn thing ever would be they give Flanagan a waiver to leave, but they don't give Phillips a waiver to come in. That would be like the most Auburn thing ever.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I think he could probably, I think he could get a waiver. I think it's, you know, he has been in, because here's the other deal. He, like Janai Broome, is still in this NBA evaluation thing. There's a chance Phillips doesn't come to college at all.
Right.
And he doesn't transfer. He just stays in the draft and gets picked.
Yeah.
And some people have him ranked in the top 30.
Yeah.
So he's an excellent wing defender. So I think there's kind of as good a chance Phillip goes pro as he does that he transfers to another school. And then if he does transfer to another school, are they going to look at it and go, well, we kind of want to go to Auburn, but there's this whole, you know, waiver hassle. So maybe we'll just go over here and go somewhere else instead. So
unbelievable.
So that's frustrating. And then at the same time, Janai Broome is kind of blowing up. He was in this kind of pre-NBA combine camp where he did very well. He was kind of one of the best players there. Now he's in the actual NBA combine. And so we'll see. I hope the best for him and hope everything goes well. But I just, I mean, this thing has just really hit me in the last couple of days as I've seen how well he's doing. Mm-hmm. We are going to be so far up shit creek if he goes pro. I'm just saying that, okay?
We're not going to have a big guy, except for
Dylan. Not just that. Not just not going to have a big guy. He's the anchor of the coming back team. So if he goes pro, we are going to be scrambling.
Well, I was going to say about Julian Phillips, I enjoy his TV programs that he produces and writes. I do like Downton Abbey is pretty good, so it'd be nice to have him on the team. But no, Broome.
Multi-threat.
Yeah, it is. Broome's got to start missing some shots, stumbling over his feet, dropping some passes. Yeah, that would be peak Auburn if we lose Janai Broome and we can't get Julian Phillips and Flanagan
gets a waiver and then comes back and torments us from Ole Miss next year.
That's the Auburn trifecta of doom right there. Boom, okay, boom.
Fun meter back down to like 6.5?
It's at about 6.2 right now. Thanks a lot. Mostly thanks to you, John, so I appreciate that. All right.
That's what I'm here for.
You're not making up the news. You're just it's like I always tell my history students, like, I don't make this stuff up. I'm just telling you about it. Don't get mad at me. Don't take it out on me. All right. Well, let's pause there for just a second. There's been some good news and there's been some bad news tonight. And I don't think any of the bad news is bad. It's just, we don't know, you know, it's just uncertainty. Uncertainty is never much fun. But one thing I'm certain about is that we have some awesome patrons that we have to thank. We've got Guess the Game coming up in just a minute. We don't have a Fantasy Formula One race update this week because there was no Formula One race this week. But they are going to Italy, I believe, next weekend. Yeah, so that's always a fun one. So I'm looking forward to that. But we do have to thank our patrons. If you want to join in the fun, join the family, go to www.auwishbone.com. Now listen, when you go to auwishbone.com, when you go to that site, you're going to find, if you haven't been there before perhaps, you're going to find a number of things to catch your interest. Every episode we produced of We Believe, before we turned it into a book series, so there's 8 episodes of We Believe there. Someday we'll do episode 9, I promise. I don't know when. But they're there in all their glory, about 2 hours each. You got like 16 hours of great Auburn highlights and audio clips, and it's free. You go to that and you just listen, and it's all free, man. We can't believe we give those away. We should have kept those as the whole series as a premium for people who join Patreon. But we didn't. See, we give this stuff away, and all we ask is join the family, come on board, click on the big orange button to become a member, become a patron, and help us support the show. You can put whatever you like in the name field and of Patreon, and I will read it as your name. Some people put audio sound clip requests and combinations. It's always fun. So go and do that. We really appreciate it. And also, as John pointed out a week or two ago, we also want you to tell somebody, spread the word, help the show to grow. We've been saying that for going on 11 years now, and it continues to grow. But we do have our hardcore audience that we love. And here is the hardest of the hardcores. Oh, shoot. You know what? I failed to open the page.
All right. While Van is doing that, I want to take a moment to thank the patrons and listeners for your support. It does mean a lot. Sometimes we've said this before. Sometimes when we're doing a podcast, it feels a little bit like you're screaming into the void on the internet. But it is nice to hear back from listeners and people that they enjoyed it and that they appreciate it. And I wanted to say this because it's going to come up later in the listener email. But if you have a question, you can email it to us. You do not have to be on social media. You can just email us your thoughts, your feedback about the show at auwishbone@gmail.com. So
that's right. And I am bringing up the patrons now because I want to thank them. So I want to single them out. I have to go in now. It takes a few more clicks than it used to because I have to click active to filter out the active patrons. Otherwise, it's going to show me everybody that ever was. And then I have to click on current tier because I kind of do it in reverse. I do it from highest to lowest tier because we have a number of tiers you can select from. We're one of the legacy podcasts that still has a $1 tier. I'm not saying that that's the one I want you to pick, but it is an option. All right. So here now are the fine folks. Get my fingers ready for the soundboard. Here are the fine folks keeping the program on the air. We always, always have to thank Samuel Salvatore, as well as Boris the Tiger's burner account, Carl Von Drunker, Chris and Clinton Stewart, and Logan Chilton. You all are princes and princesses. I think you're all princes. I may be wrong about princess. And we have to thank Ann Kangian, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor wants us to say... How do you really feel?
No!
Yeah, that's me as I've been going down the emotional scale from the heights I was on earlier on the fun meter. Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. Let's see. Oh, yeah, this is our patron that always points out that we have to
dispel once and for all with this fiction.
Because Auburn is the only team from the state to make the Final Four. That's always a good thing to remember. Our favorite combination would be...
Tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming.
There we go. And it's not done yet, as we were just discussing. That's right. The TARDIS may be racing along some more. 76 Tiger Esquire, Sleazy Shyster, and Health Inspector for your favorite place.
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
That's right. A friend of mine is known for sweeping girls off their feet. He's an extremely aggressive janitor. Man, it's turned into like Dad Jokes Central, and I'm here for it.
I appreciate it. Keep them coming. Love a good dad joke.
Amen. Alex Brown. Bleeds Orange and Blue, Blend Budworth, he's just trying to mess me up, Chris Hilton, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Bobby, free throws are expensive. Random sound clip, let's see, this one's going to go to...
I got great news for you.
Auburn beat Alabama by 12 points.
No, this is important, honestly.
And again, Frank, that is important. Angie's absolutely right, that is important. Jacob and Robin Fleming, Jarquez Hunter for Heisman, man, I hope we hear that later. John, let's hear your best impression of Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
Please clap.
There you go. There it is.
Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Logan, Mickey B, No One Fights Like Gaston, Algo Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Reynolds Wolfe, Rich Reimer, Roy Kent. Oh, Roy Kent is,
Oi, you two, talk about football, eh?
We got Roy on here now. Rusty Owen, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Warhammer 6, WDE Richie, why didn't Han Solo enjoy his steak dinner? It was chewy. Oh. Oh. Oh, that hurts. That's painful, John. I don't mean hurts in the sense of it's a bad joke, although there is that. I mean in the sense of it was a steak dinner, but it was chewy. That's just wrong. That hurts me emotionally.
Yeah, that's wrong. I laughed, but it's wrong.
It's bad. I'm sad, yes. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Wynn Carroll, Winston Boddy. That's the W section of our patrons. Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer. Boris did not accompany me down the stairs tonight. He's still up in the living room. David D., David Simpson, Di Bama, Josh Teal, Just Wait Till Next Year, Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, and our one-time and anonymous donors, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Spider-Man has a winter jacket made of Mediterranean flatbread. It's called a pita paca. I like that one. Stephen Houston, the fact that I've created 20 Hugo Sleeves novel titles and haven't even mentioned escorts yet should be kind of worrying.
Please clap.
That's good. Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle87, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram, Alex Nguyen, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Brian Albanese. Man, some of these folks have been with us from the beginning, and we sure appreciate them. Can you guys do the barbecue show live streamed and on location at
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage?
I don't know if it's a real place. Maybe so. I don't know where it is. We are talking about going on location again this year, maybe once or twice. We don't know yet. You know, the thing that makes me sad, though, is for years and years, and they kept delaying it, for years and years, we kept talking about going to Cal. And now that it rolls around, and I feel like we're going to win that game, I just really don't feel like spending $1,000 to fly all the way out to San Francisco and watch us beat up Cal. What's wrong with me, John? I don't know.
Fun meter's not high enough.
No, I guess. The money meter's high and the fun meter's low. I don't know. And my nephew doesn't live there anymore as part of it. When he was there and I could have gone, he said he'd go and meet me, but it's still a bit different if he like lives there and I go visit him, you know. So I don't know. Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Colonel Dad, a.k.a. Ari Benzane, I miss my category, mister. Construction Tiger. And finally, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, Elizabeth Donald.
We got to get better at celebrating.
I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, Jeremiah Schumann, Jim McCrory, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, The Barbecue.
You have failed me for the last time.
AKA Auburn Dad for Life. I got to say, the cheesecake tonight didn't fail me. It was very, very good. I enjoyed my little piece of cheesecake. Mark Squire, MVP Captivating Kathy Bright.
You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
Could not be more false about Kathy. My bracket is busted, but I'm still Tiger exclusive mouse catcher for
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
Yum! New York Tiger says to the Knicks,
you have failed me for the last time.
But knows he will be all in again next basketball season. That's the way we are about all of our sports we love, man. Nick Craig, Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, I am at the bottom of this list because
God bless it!
Back for while you can, the monkey boy.
Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Why Are You Booing Johnny's Right, Brant Rumble, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. There we go. Go to www.auwishbone.com. John, I think it's time for Guess the Game. Are you ready?
Bring it on.
Who can it be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the Art Sale Artist, here with Guess the Game number 92. Guess the Game 92 is brought to you by our friend Wigabert, and let's give a listen and see what he sent in.
From the shotgun, get some pressure. With big-time pressure, running away from running away from throws it on the run, and it's picked off by the Tigers with the interception down the sideline, and may go the distance down to the 20 and taken down, and the game is over with the interception.
All right, guys, I will see you in the hint file.
Okay, the announcer was?
That was Andy Burcham, our current
which announcer. Means the time frame is?
Since beginning with 2019, 18 or 19. I guess it's 19.
So a game that ends with the Auburn defense making an interception.
I thought it was going to be the
quarterback.
I thought it was going to be the butt interception against Alabama in 2019, but then he got tackled.
I thought it was, too. I thought that's what the play was. I thought it was the interception at the goal line return for a touchdown, but he got tackled, so it was not that play.
That's right.
But also, the game ended on that play.
Mm-hmm. And we won because Jared only does games we win. That's always a big help.
Okay. Did the Jacksonville State game end like that?
I don't
remember that. I'm trying to think about games that were...
Yeah.
A close game.
You know the sad thing
where the other team threw a pass and we intercepted it then.
The sad thing about 2019 is other than the Iron Bowl, the games I remember are the LSU and Florida losses.
Yes.
Those are the games that stand out in my mind are those losses. Hey, though, that year we beat Oregon.
Yes, the first game.
So there's... I just don't remember us doing anything like that in 20 or 21.
So at the end of the Oregon game, he threw the touchdown to Seth Williams.
Yeah.
And then did Oregon get the ball back and we pressured them into an interception?
It may be. That may be.
Okay.
That may All be. Right. You want to go to the hemp file? I don't have anything
do
else.
It.
Yeah, I think we got to go to the hemp file.
Here we are in the hemp file. Let's get rid of some bleeps and give it another listen.
Plumlee from the shotgun.
Plumlee.
Gets some pressure. With big time pressure. Running away from Big Cat Bryant. Running away from Papo, throws it on the run, and it's picked off by the Tigers. Christian Tutt with the interception down the sideline, and Tutt may go the distance. Tutt down to the 20 and taken down, and the game is over. Christian Tutt with the interception.
Okay, plenty of good information in that one. I will see you guys in the answer file.
Oh, all the time we got to play King Tutt. I miss it already.
I know you missed the King Tut sound clip. Oh. That was John Reese Plumlee, so it was Ole Miss.
Yep.
And so
not that long ago.
Big Cat Bryant and Tut were on the team, though.
Yeah, so, well, and think about this. If it was in Auburn, it didn't sound like it was in Ole Miss, did it? Or was that?
I don't know. I'm trying to think about the games, the Ole Miss games, right?
Well, 2020 would have... No, 2019 was in Auburn. 2021 was in Auburn. I'm just thinking about the crowd. You know, the 2020 games are going to sound different because the stadium was so empty.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't think Big Cat Bryant was on the team in 21.
Was he gone? I thought that was like his last year. Maybe, no. Did he leave when Gus left?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So it's either 19 or 20.
I think it's 19 or 20.
Odd number year would be in Auburn. Did that sound like it was in Auburn or in Ole Miss?
I don't know.
That's why I was wondering if it was the COVID year, because then the crowd would be hard to tell either way. Let me go back.
I'm trying to remember the results of the games, if one of them I knew we blew them out or not.
Let me go back.
Here we are in the hip.
Get some pressure. With big time pressure, running away from Big Cat Bryant, running away from Papo, throws it on the run, and it's picked off by the Tigers. Christian Tutt with the interception down the sideline, and Tutt may go the distance. Tutt down to the 20 and taken down. And the
well, I tell you one thing, I'm gonna go back and watch that game on YouTube after the show tonight because it sounds like a fun game. As soon as we find out when it was. All right, well, we know it's 19 or 20, right?
Yeah.
And was that just a really good Auburn crowd in Oxford? Or was that a COVID crowd? Or was that a crowd in Auburn that just wasn't humongously loud because it's Ole Miss? I'm not sure.
Or was he at a crowded Oxford that was disappointed when the interception happened? So
yeah, I don't know.
I'm leaning 19.
All right,
but I could be talked into 20.
No, it works for me. We're gonna put our chips on 2019 Ole Miss in Auburn, and here we go.
All right, John and Van, you guys probably figured out pretty easily that this was an Ole Miss game. But did you figure out that it was from 2019? If so, you are the big winners, and I would like to thank Wigaber for sending that in. He actually sent in a clip that had several plays, and he had some suggestions, but I ended up picking a play that wasn't one of his suggestions, because sometimes that'll happen, because even if the play is really good, and there's not enough audio, meat of audio for Van and John to have a sporting chance at it, it's not the best selection for a guest of the game. So occasionally when listeners send in some suggestions and I like the game and I like the atmosphere, but the play just doesn't have much audio, I'll pick a play that's in the same game, but maybe with a little more audio. So that's what happened here. But I want to thank Wigaber for sending that in with a lot of plays to pick from. So that made it even easier. So thank you, Wigaber, for doing that. And if you'd like to be like Wigaber and send in a play for Guess the Game, well, I can be found at lots of different places. I am at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or you can email me at Jared. That's JARROD at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, Wiggle.
That was a good one. Jared was all excited the other day because he said that somebody told him that this was his favorite part, their favorite part of the show. And I'm like, that doesn't surprise me a bit because it's awesome.
Well, A, it's a great part of the podcast. Thank you, Jared and Wigaber. Yes. That was really good.
It was.
Can you believe we've done that 92 times?
No, I can't. It's mind-blowing because we don't do this show every day. If we did this show every day and it was 92 times, I would be dubious. I'd be like, really, though, 92? We do this show every week. So 92 is like 2 years.
Almost 2 years, yes.
Yeah. It feels like it's been longer than that, though. We may have missed a couple or, I don't know, something. I feel like we've been doing this for about 3 years now. Maybe I'm wrong. Jerry can probably tell us. But anyway, I delete the files so I don't have a date thing I can look. I delete them not because I want to, but because it just takes up too much space, those big audio files. Yeah, that was a really good one. And I, like Jared, went out and was able to find a clip that like made a good puzzle. But you are on a hot streak, sir. You've gotten two of the last three, like, single-handedly. It's been crazy.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut occasionally.
Got two in the last three. That's right. That's awesome. All right. Well, that's good. All right. So no Formula One update. I guess it's time to go ahead and click on the...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. Do we have anything in the old mailbag this week?
We got a few.
All right.
All right. The first one is from Steven Sorrell, who says, "Hey, guys, I'm a longtime listener, but this is my first listener email. I never realized you had an email to send questions to. Thanks for announcing it last week." He says, "I don't have any social media, so I've never sent one before, but now I know." So here's my question.
Okay. All right.
Given the resounding dissatisfaction of Auburn hiring Hugh Freeze just a few months ago, how would you compare the excitement level for Auburn football then to what it is now after the latest transfer portal success? I know the season has not started yet, but could we realistically expect Freeze to do any better at this point? I have been extremely impressed by his performance in the offseason, and I am praying it carries over to the field and results in wins. It's got to be better than potatoes past two seasons, right? Oh, there's no way it could be worse, right? Thanks for reading, and War Eagle, Steven Sorrell.
All right, so he's wanting us to compare what? Something to now?
Well, I think he says, how would you compare your excitement level for Auburn football at the time of Freeze's announcement to now?
Just more and more. Then, let's be honest. When he was announced, it was controversial, and we had to go through like a week of agony. And less said about that, the better. But I've just gotten more and more excited as we've seen results, not on the field in terms of games and scores, but in terms of getting ready, bodies, players, numbers, just. He's thinking the same way that I was in terms of that's why I wanted to do the Auburn Fun Meter this week is because I wanted to say
And I'm having a lot more fun now than I was 6 months ago.
And one of the things he said, I think is true, is like, could we realistically expect Freeze to do better than he has done to this point?
I didn't think he would do as well as he's done to this point.
That's what I'm saying. I think the answer to that is no.
Right. I'm shocked and very happily gratified about it. Yeah.
That's it. All right. Our next email is from our softball correspondent.
Oh, good.
And the title of his email is "The Problem with the Cam Newton Gene Chizik Model."
Oh, God.
So we'll see where this goes.
He says,
"Hey, fellas, softball check in just to say, ouch. Yeah. Y'all know I love my girl, Maddie Penta."
Yep.
Who was just recently SEC Softball Pitcher of the Year named. He said, "I compared her to Cam Newton just last week. But the problem with having only one superstar is, what if that player has a couple of bad days? As a 3 seed, Willie got to play the 11 seed Rebels and the 10 seed Gamecocks before being eliminated. Maddie started both games and ended up being pulled from both. We were gifted an upset and got to play the 10 seed instead of the 2 seed in our second game, and we were still eliminated.
Yep.
And just being honest, we needed some major luck to the tune of 3 errors in one inning to squeak past the 11 seed the first game. Keeping in mind there's only 13 seeds in SEC softball, we shouldn't need such a luck to notch a struggle win and then turn around and be eliminated by the 11 and 10 seeded teams. Obviously, this was Penta's worst 2 games of the year, and they happened at the worst time. She'll bounce back and will do some damage in the Clemson Regional. Calling my shot now, Penta puts on a masterclass and we advance to our first Super Regional of the Mickey Dean era, where we get to be Oklahoma's next sacrifice on their path to a three-peat. But the fact that we were set up to host a regional before we did so poorly against 2 double-digit seeds that we played ourselves out of hosting is infuriating.
I know
others aren't happy that I'm so critical of Mickey Dean, but as I say at the beginning of every year, prove me wrong, coach, and he hasn't done it yet. Thanks, Cato. The guy who now has to travel out of state instead of getting to stay home. Seriously, do you know how hard it is to travel with a toddler and an infant? It's the worst.
Yes.
And then he says, P.S. If this is too long for the podcast, please just insert the Howard Dean yell from the soundboard and say it's from me.
Well, yeah, no, and he gave us some good information there that was why we probably played ourselves out of that.
Yes.
Out of that. That's what we were talking about earlier, and now we have our answer. So if you've been listening to the entire episode, one of your many rewards is that you found the answer to the question that we asked in the first 20 minutes or so of the show. So now in the last fourth 20 minutes of the show. It sucks when things go like that. If Cam Newton has a bad game, I know, but hey, they did real well. Maybe they'll, like I said, maybe they'll win in Clemson, and that would be great.
Yeah, but that traveling with a toddler and a baby is no joke, man.
The last time I went to an Auburn football game in Vanderbilt, Mira, I believe, there may have been one since then. Mira was an infant, a toddler, and I sat there in the deck holding a pizza box in front of her the entire game so she wouldn't get baked by the sun, and that was the 14-13 loss in 2008. Mm. I feel like we've played in Vanderbilt since then. I just don't remember being there. That's like the last time I remember going. I'm sure I've been one more time. But we play there this year. So I'm definitely going to the Auburn-Vanderbilt game if everything lines up.
I like it. All right. And then our last email this week is from a friend of the podcast, Auburn Elvis, who says, "Dear John Avan, since this is now an Auburn softball podcast, I want to throw in my own 2 cents on Auburn's terrible NCAA draw, especially compared to Alabama's.
Yeah.
I'm convinced it's in retaliation to the men's basketball getting sent to Birmingham Regional in March. Can you guys think of other cases where you don't have facts to back it up, but you're just sure there was a conspiracy against Auburn? Auburn Elvis."
It feels like all the time, but I off the top of my head, I don't know if I'd be able to pull one out where you just know, because it's the non-revenue sports that always end up, these kind of things happen more often. I mean, the basketball occasionally with NCAA tournament, something like that, but nothing really comes to mind.
2004.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the all time. Yeah, the big one. and 83 when we got jumped by Miami. And, yeah, I mean, having our postseason taken away from us in 1993 when we were undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't – none of those are exactly what Elvis is talking about. I know what he's talking about. It's just hard to – but it does always seem like we kind of get the short end of the deal. It does feel like the universe is working against us sometime. We know the good Lord is an Auburn fan because the sun is orange and the sky is blue, but – sometimes it feels like the devil, who wears red, of course, is up there manipulating things a little bit too much. So, yeah.
It's true.
It's true. Well, any other – that was the last of our questions?
Yeah, but if other listeners have good suggestions for this conspiracy thing, I want to hear.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, this is what always happens is we – by the time we get to the end of the show, it's like Monday night in the middle of the night and my brain is fried. And I've just tried to be clever for an hour and a half, and my brain is giving out. So it's a good question by Elvis. I'm not sure I can come up with anything brilliant off the top of my head right now. I do want to take a trip real quick, not so much around the SEC, but it involves the SEC. It's going to actually take us down a little bit into an area of a team. Go ahead, Mira.
Let's take a trip around the SEC.
That was Mira not much longer after she was at that Vanderbilt game. Yeah, Florida State. Okay, this is just incredible. The ACC, Florida State is mad. They are currently very mad because the ACC television deal that they are locked into like 2030 something, okay, pays them on average $30 million a year less than SEC teams right around them are getting. A year, $30 million. And either the athletic director, the president, whoever of Florida State was just livid. I saw this interview. He was saying, it's not just that we're $30 million behind, you know, Florida and whoever else, Georgia and Alabama and Auburn, LSU. But he's like, that's $30 million every year. The hole just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And then the Big Ten is set to make $38 million more than Florida State per year pretty soon with their new deal. And the thing, this is my favorite part, right? I'm already like crying crocodile tears, or I guess alligator tears for Florida State. I'm already crying these tears of pain and anguish, sympathetic pain for Florida State. I feel so bad for them. But here is the cherry on top, John. This is the pièce de résistance of Florida State anguish. And that is that Central Florida is joining the Big 12, who's going to have a better TV deal than the ACC. And so Florida State and Tallahassee is going to sit there and watch Central Florida get more money than Florida State and Miami does for football television. They can't stand it. They're like, this is unacceptable. Just unacceptable that Central Florida should get more money for their football rights than Florida State and Miami. And that's what's happening by like multiple tens of millions of dollars a year. Is that incredible?
It is. The ACC was worried about their teams getting poached, so they had them all long-term commit themselves to this TV deal, and it wasn't a good business decision, and now they're in trouble.
Yeah, and I mean, one person on Twitter was saying that the solution would be for Florida State and Miami to join the SEC. And I'm like, look, we're already going to 16. At some point, it's not the SEC. At some point, it's teams not in the Big Ten.
Well, and again, this ACC TV deal is not that's what they want to do thing. They gave up their rights until whenever this thing expires in the 2030s.
Yeah.
Florida State literally does not own their television rights anymore. The ACC does until this deal is over. So if they want to get out of that, they can write the ACC a check for a couple hundred million dollars, and that ain't going to happen.
Oh, my gosh. And I want to reiterate, by the way, when I say the SEC's already got, it's not the SEC anymore, it's just going to be the non-Big Ten, I don't mean that geographically. All right, somebody point out to me, they're like, oh, but it quit being geographic a long time ago. I'm like, I don't mean it geographically at all. I just mean in sheer numbers of teams, right? Right now, they're at 14. The SEC, believe it or not, John, the SEC has been at 14. This is the 11th year, believe it or not. The 11th year that they've been.
I've said this in this podcast before, and I know you feel the same way. Like, I still think South Carolina and Arkansas are the new teams.
Yes, exactly. And here we are, 14 teams for – this will be the 11th year, and we're about and Georgia has never played at Texas A&M. And Auburn has played at Missouri one time. And then you're going to add two more teams. It's not a conference. I've said this over and over. It's not a conference at that point. When you've played Clemson four times more than you've played teams in the SEC and you're in the SEC, something's wrong, right? So they got to fix this. They got to go to the pod thing or the whatever model it is.
They're going to. Yeah, and
they better. This is if they don't go to nine teams, we won't. If we don't go to nine games, we won't.
Well, no. It's almost – okay. This is one of the things that's on the horizon that we are absolutely going to spend an entire podcast talking about sometime the next month. Okay. The schedule is going to be announced. The schedule model and the schedule for the future when Oklahoma and Texas join is going to be announced. They're having their little retreat in Destin coming up the next couple of weeks, and they're going to make a decision. It's going to be out there. And there's only two models, three permanent opponents, nine games. We rotate. We play everybody home and away over a four-year period, mm-hmm. or one permanent opponent, mm-hmm. eight-game schedule, we play everybody home and away over 4 years. Those are the only two options.
Okay.
And it's going to be one of those, and the answer is going to be, how much money is ESPN going to give us for the nine-game version?
Right.
And if it's worth it, which everybody wants it to be, they'll go to that.
Well, there you go. Okay, well, good. Yeah, we'll go into all this and talk about it in the future. But I want to leave you all tonight. Think about Chief Osceola on Renegade, and imagine him sitting there. Renegade's got his head kind of down. Chief Osceola is leaning forward. The flaming spear in his hand is gone out, and there's just like a little black wisp of smoke coming from the end of the spear. And he's like, I'm negative $30 million to Central Florida. It's a pleasant image if you are a Florida State disliker like we are on this program. I hate for him.
My heart bleeds for the man.
Heart bleeds. All right. Final thoughts tonight as we get on out of here.
Be careful out there. Enjoy the beautiful spring weather before we get into the depths of summer, because the season's right around the corner. So.
That's right. I got to go mow the grass pretty soon. My gosh, it's growing like crazy. Growing like a weed. All right, everybody. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.